Good morning, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'm joined by my buddy here, Cole Shelton, to break down this weekend's card, the UFC's latest pay-per-view, UFC 247. Cole, how's it going, man?
And I'm doing really well. How are you?
I'm good. And how much are you looking forward to the card?
This card, obviously, John Jones. We're going to see John Jones fight. It's always something special, but this card, there's some good fights I'm really looking forward to. I think the prelims aren't as stacked as what they should be. I think there could have been losing Marlon Rivera, Jimmy Rivera. That one really hurt. That was a fight I was really looking forward to. But anytime you have John Jones fight, it's going to be a big card. It's going to have a lot of eyeballs on it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, it's a one fight card pretty much. Like, it's based on the back of John Jones and Dominic Reyes. And you have another title fight, but I don't think anyone's really, like, truly looking forward to that fight that much. There's some other good fights in the card for sure, Cole, like a few interesting matches. But overall, like, it's a top-heavy card. But you know what? Like, I expect this in 2020, man. The last card was pretty top-heavy, too, the Conor card as well, Cole. Next card, next pay-per-view, UFC 248, that's more of like an evenly stacked card. But at least with Jones and McGregor, the UFC knows they're going to sell pay-per-views regardless, right? So they're just kind of putting some, like, meh matchups kind of on the undercard. Overall, like, just on paper, it's not the greatest card. But as we know, Cole, that could change in an instant, man. It could end up being a really good card if the fighters perform as they could. So, as always, we'll be breaking down this card from bottom to top and giving our picks for all the fights on the card. So, we'll start with the first matchup on the prelims here, Cole. A featherweight bout between UFC prospects who are making their debuts here in Austin Lingo and Yusuf Zalal. The odds right now, Lingo minus 200, Zalal plus 170. Give me your pick.
I'm going Austin Lingo. I've been really high on Lingo for a while. I've talked to him quite a few times. He's kind of a complete package. He has a lot of submission wins. He has a lot of knock power. Like, if you look at his last three fights, knocked out Aaron Webb in 13 seconds, submitted Angel Cruz in 25 seconds, and knocked out Solo Hatley Jr. in 25 seconds. He finishes fights, and he finishes them early. Everyone at Fortis says this guy's a future champion. He's probably the best guy in the gym. He's only 25. I know Zalal, he's kind of struggled as of late. He's 1-2 in his last three, but this would have been a perfect headliner fight in LFA. Like, I'm surprised they did get the shot in UFC right now, and I'm surprised neither of them had to go through the contender series. But I like Austin Lingo, and I like Lingo to finish this fight rather early, like a first round stoppage, either if it's knockout or submission.
Yeah, it's nothing against these two guys, Cole. It's just kind of strange that, like, they didn't save this fight for, like you said, LFA or contender series, because that's going to start in June, I think, right? So, or May even. So, to me, like, this is a fight they could have waited a few more months. But I guess the UFC saw maybe some competition from, like, Bellator that possibly wanted to sign these guys, and they wanted to get a head start on it. So, I think these guys are both green, and they're both a little bit early for the UFC. I mean, they haven't been fighting that long as pros. Lingo since 2017, Zalal since 2017. So, these guys are pretty new, but the sport moves fast, man. So I guess I'm not totally shocked that we have some guys with, like, only 3 years of experience in the UFC, because we have guys with that made their debuts last year in the UFC already. It's crazy, right? Anyways, as far as the fight goes, I kind of lean towards Lingo a little bit too. I just think more momentum coming in this fight, Cole. That's, for me, the reason I'm picking him here. 7 straight wins compared to Zalal. Only 1 straight win. Lost 2 fights before that. This is not a fight I want to bet on, because honestly, I don't know a ton about either guy. And they both are good prospects from what I've seen. But I do have to pick the Lingo. And I should mention, he opened as a minus 500 favorite. He's only down to minus 200 now. So maybe there's value on him. I'm not 100% sure, because some people obviously saw value as well and they put him down as a dog. All right, next up, bantamweight bout, Andre Ewell against Jonathan Martinez. Ewell minus 130, Martinez plus 110. Who's your pick?
I like Andre Ewell in this fight. He's honestly, he lost to Marlon Vera, no shame in that. Beat Anderson Dos Santos, lost to Nathaniel Wood, no shame in that. Beat Hedin Burrell. Jonathan Martinez, although he knocked out Lewin in his last fight, like, it wasn't a good front. He was kind of losing that fight. He's lost to Andrei Sukumtov. Like, if you're losing to Sukumtov, I don't think you're really that high level of fighter. I think Ewell has more experience. I think he's the better striker, and I think he can just pick apart Martinez. I think he'll edge out a decision win here.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on this one as well. It should be a close fight, though. I think Martinez, he's a guy that honestly is a little bit underrated by a lot of us, including both of us, I think. I mean, that last win over Lou was really good. He looked impressive in that fight. But overall, I just think Ewell is a better fighter, even though he's kind of struggling in the UFC with just a 2-2 record. But he has fought higher level competition, in my opinion. Like, Nathaniel Wood, like you said, Vera, those guys are solid fighters, man. He also lost to Patrick Mix and King of the Cage, and that's not a bad loss either. And his other wins, like Hedin Burrell, you know, I know he's pretty much shot at this point, but it's still not a bad win. I mean, for a prospect, it's not that bad. Martinez, like I said, coming off that nice win over Liu, but overall, I haven't been super impressed with him in the UFC. I do think he has a chance here, though. I wouldn't say it's going to be a blow. I think it's going to be a close fight that goes to the decision. But I think that Ewell, with his wrestling, is going to edge out the decision here with a close one. So my pick is Andre Ewell at minus 130 to win a decision. Next up, another bantamweight fight between Domingo Pilarte and Jurny Newsome. The odds right now, Pilarte minus 120, Newsome plus 100. So a pretty close fight as far as the odds go. Who's your pick here?
Yeah, this is a really tough fight. This is probably one of the tougher fights to call. They're both prospects, both lost their UFC debut. Newsom lost to Ricardo Ramos, not a bad loss. Pilarte lost a split decision to Caleros. It could have gone either way. I know a lot of people thought Pilarte won that fight. Pilarte was really hyped up heading into that fight. Yeah, but the problem is he didn't fight for a while. He fought in 2018 in the Contender Series. I didn't fight until the following summer. I favor Pilarte slightly. I think he's the better all-around fighter, but it's a fight I wouldn't bet on. I think it could go either way. I wouldn't be surprised if Newsom would win this fight at all.
Yeah, this is a close fight for sure. Man, I was not impressed with Pilarte in that last fight, Cole, against Caleros. Like, that's a fight he has to win, and he lost by a split, and he didn't look very good in that fight. And to me, like, that's a kind of a sign that I can't really pick him here against Newsom. I wasn't too impressed with him against Ramos either, but at least that's, like, in my opinion, a really good fighter. And he took it on short notice, if I'm not mistaken, against a guy with a lot more experience. I don't know, Cole. This wouldn't go either way. I mean, like, look at the odds. They're super close. I think that most people don't really have a clear winner in their mind in this fight. It could go either way. It's going to be a decision, I think. Probably a split decision. But my pick's going to be Newsom. I guess I'll go with him as a slight underdog. I do think a few underdogs in this card will win, and I think that Newsom has a chance to pull a decision here just because I think he's slightly more well-rounded than Pilarte. And I was not impressed with Pilarte. Also, Newsom's fought a little bit more often lately, which I think can help him here. But again, this is not a fight I'm confident in by any means. I wouldn't bet on this fight. Next up, another bantamweight fight. I mean, what's with the bantamweight fights in this card? Crazy. But we got Miles Johns against Mario Bautista. Miles Johns, minus 120. Bautista, plus 100. Give me your pick.
I'm going with Miles Johns here. He's really impressive. He's undefeated. Another Fortis guy coming off a win over Cole Smith. And Cole Smith is a tough guy. I'm really high on Cole Smith as well. Mario Bautista, his UFC debut was weird. No one really knew a whole lot about him or his opponent he faced. And he got blown out by Corey Sandhagen. Everyone didn't really know how good Sandhagen would be. And they didn't think Bautista would be that good. But now that we've seen how good Sandhagen is, like, that loss is, it's not a bad loss anymore. He won his next fight, but I still favor Miles Johns. Like, he showed in the Cole Smith fight, he has good wrestling, he has good wrestling defense, he has good striking. I think he'll win a decision win here and improve to 11-0.
Yeah, it's an interesting fight. Bautista definitely, I think that fight with Corey Sandhagen, like you said, Cole, like, we didn't know a lot about him heading into that, but, it was an interesting fight, and he looked good against Sun in his last fight. But for me, it's just like Johns, I've been impressed with this guy. He looked good on Contender Series. The Cole Smith fight, your cousin Cole Smith, like, that was a close fight. that was a close one, Cole. I mean, it could have went either way, but he ended up pulling out the win, and he's still undefeated. And I think there is something to say about a guy who's undefeated. I've been pretty impressed with Johns. I mean, he's been around for a few years now. He was an LFA, obviously. He was a top prospect there. Bautista was another LFA guy, but I don't think he had the same pedigree that Johns had. Honestly, I think the odds could be a little bit higher in Johns' favor here. I think there possibly could be some value in Johns. I mean, he opened at minus 245, and he's minus 120 right now. So, to me, there's value here on Miles Johns. I do favor him quite a bit, Cole, at minus 120. I think there is possibly some value, and I'm assuming you agree with me on that.
Yeah, for sure. I think he has a lot of value. I think I'm surprised he's that low of odds. Like, I thought he'd be around minus 200.
Yeah, he opened at minus 245, so people are betting on Bautista. And, you know, it's a bantamweight fight. Those fights tend to be close, so I guess I can see the reasoning, but I do think Johns wins. So we'll see what happens there. All right, next up, welterweight bout, Alex Moreno against Kaelin Williams. Williams took the fight on short notice, filling in for Diego Lima. The odds right now, Moreno minus 265, Williams plus 225. Give me your pick.
I'm going Alex Moreno. He's just been in the UFC for a while, coming off three really impressive wins, Ken Song, Zach Otto, Max Griffin. And that Max Griffin fight, he almost stopped Max Griffin. Max Griffin is a tough guy to finish. Just Kaelin Williams, he's coming on short notice. But the thing is, the problem I have, and I say about a lot of prospects, is he hasn't fought anyone that high level. Like, his last win was a guy against 10-3. That's a good win. Before that, it was 8-10, 6-5, 17-19, 7-7, 3-2. He's not fighting the level competition Alex Moreno has been fighting. Like, he's fought Nico Price. He's fought a lot of these top guys. I think Moreno can get it done. I think he might even be able to stop Kaelin Williams.
It's an interesting fight. I mean, Moreno is a guy I've honestly been on, like, almost all of his fights. I mean, he's come through for most of them. He's a good fighter. He's very well-rounded. He's very durable, hard to finish. good wrestling, good striking. I mean, he's just a well-rounded guy, and he's from Houston, so that should help him here fighting at home. But I don't know, like, Caleb Williams is an interesting prospect. I mean, the guy is a pretty good athlete. He's coming off a nice win streak, 6 straight wins. He has a couple, like, somewhat notable wins in there. Like, Jeremy Holloway is a former Bellator guy. Like, he's not horrible by any means. And Tony Hervey's a guy who's fought up here in the Score Fighting Series a few times, so I'm kind of aware who he is. I don't know, Cole. I think the odds are a little high, honestly. Morono should win. I like betting on Morono when he's an underdog. I don't really like playing this kind of juice on Morono. He should win this fight. I think Morono probably does win a decision here, Cole. But minus 265, I'm going to stay away from this one because, honestly, Caleb Williams is kind of a guy I think is a wild card here. And it wouldn't shock me at all if he did actually get the win here. I think the guy, there's something behind this guy, and that's why the UFC signed him to fight Morono. So we'll see what happens. But Morono's going to be my pick. I just don't think I'd bet on him. I don't like laying juice on a guy like Morono. Next up, we got an interesting women's flyweight bout, Andrea Lee against Lauren Murphy. The odds right now, Lee minus 330, Murphy plus 270. A little wider than expected, Cole. What do you think about the odds and this, who do you think wins this fight?
Yeah, I thought the odds would be a lot closer. I do favor Andrea Lee to win the fight, but I personally wouldn't bet on that. Odds, I thought, like, I'd 330 is a lot. Like, I thought I'd get Lee around like 200. I knew she'd be a sizable favorite. I thought 2 to 1, maybe 225 at the most. Those odds are way too high for me. Lauren Murphy, she's just kind of been hit and miss. She obviously lost to Star Eubanks, which is not a good loss. But then her last fight against Romero Barella, that was a really nice knockout. That knee really ended it all. Lee's, I think she's still one of the best prospects at 125. She obviously took a step up in competition, lost Joanne Calderwood. She still looked good in that fight, though. And she has wins of like Montana De La Rosa, which is a good win. I think Andrea Lee can edge a decision win, but I wouldn't lay minus 330 on her.
Yeah, it's high. And I should mention, there's another fight where you have a Texas-based fighter, Lee. A lot of these fights, Cole, on this card have at least one fighter from Texas. So that's kind of why I think you see a lot of them favored. And Lee, again, a very highly touted prospect for many years. A lot of people thought she'd be a champion. I think she's been a little disappointing. I know her record in the UFC is 3-1. It's pretty good, but she hasn't got a finish yet, Cole. And the last fight against Calderwood, to me, that's a fight she should have won. And to me, that's a fight that's kind of screwed up her trajectory because if she did win, she probably would have got a title shot. But she lost, and she's got to work her way back up. Lauren Murphy is coming off a nice win over Mara Romero Barella as an underdog. She looked good in that fight. She has picked up a few wins as a dog in the UFC. But overall, I mean, she's 36, Cole. She's one of the oldest fighters in this division. And to me, at some point, she'll slow down. I think Lee wins this fight. She probably wins the decision here once again. Murphy's tough to finish. I don't think she probably gets finished in this one. I just like to see Lee get a finish and actually like make a statement here. But, you know, we'll see what happens. And I should mention she is from Texas, but she's fighting out of Louisiana right now. Anyways, next up, we got another Houston-based fighter here in Trevin Giles taking on Antonio Arroyo. And Giles minus 135, Arroyo plus 115. You think the hometown guy wins this one?
This is such an interesting fight, obviously. Antonio Arroyo, he's a jiu-jitsu guy. A lot of his wins are by submission. Trevin Giles got submitted by Gerald Mishart last time out, lost and was submitted by Zach Cummins as well. His last two losses were submission. It's going to be interesting. I think Giles is the better fighter. I think on the feet, he can pick apart Arroyo. He has power. And like he has good wins. Like he has a split decision win in LFA over Ryan Spann. That's a really impressive win. The only problem is, can Arroyo get down to the ground? I think that's what the fight kind of decides. If Arroyo can get a takedown, I think he might be able to submit Trevin Giles. I favor Giles slightly. I think he can keep it on the feet, and I think he can hurt Arroyo on the feet. So I have Giles by decision, but I would not be surprised if he got submitted early in this fight.
Yeah, man, Giles. So frustrating because I think this guy is talented as hell, but the last two fights getting choked out by Mearshard and Cummings in the third round, very disappointing. I think that taking that year and a half break to go to the police academy hurt this guy a little bit because he was looking great, Cole, before that. But you know what? I can't blame him because, honestly, I bet being a cop pays more than being in the UFC, honestly. Like, unless you're a champion or, like, a really high-level fighter, you're probably not getting paid that much. This guy's probably making 20 and 20 or something. So I can't blame him for chasing his dream to be a cop. Having said that, Cole, I mean, I think he should win this fight. I think he is the better fighter. Arroyo, he's not bad himself. He's coming off that loss to Muniz, but before that, nice win streak there, including that win on the contender series. But, yeah, I think Giles, I got to believe in this guy, man. I haven't completely – like falling off of the train here. I think he is talented. He looked really good in his first few fights. I'm going to stick with Giles here, my guy. I think he wins this fight probably by decision. But yeah, Cole, honestly, like I would not bet on him right now because he's got to get back on track. Until then, I could never lay money on him. All right, let's move on to the main card. kind of a weird fight to kick off the main card here. You got Houston's own Derek Lewis taking on Ilir Latifi, who's moving up to heavyweight. Right now you got Lewis -245, Latifi +205. Give me your thoughts on the matchup. Who do you think wins?
Yeah, the fight makes no sense. When I talked to Latifi, I'm like, why is this the fight? He's like, Lewis wanted to fight in Houston. They offered me this fight, and this is basically like the only fight they could get if Lewis wanted to fight on this card, so he took it. I don't know why Latifi's moving up to heavyweight. Like, he seemed like a smaller guy at 205, but I talked to him. He said he has a rough timing at 205. Like, it's a hard cut. It's a hard recovery for him. It's just the thing is, I don't understand why he's fighting a top five guy when he's coming off two losses at light heavyweight. And he was ranked, like, what, 12 or 11, I think, at light heavyweight? Like, he wasn't even in the top 10. He's coming off a knockout loss to Volkan Ozdemir. Derek Lewis has more power. I think Derek Lewis knocks out Ilir Latifi in the first or second round.
I don't understand the matchup either. I mean, listen, Latifi was a decent light heavyweight, but why does he get to fight a top five ranked guy in the heavyweight division in his first fight? Like, there's other guys that are, like, more deserving of fighting a ranked guy like Lewis who want to take his spot. I don't get it. I guess the UFC thinks that Lewis probably does get the win here in front of his hometown. And I think he does, too. I think he probably does knock out Latifi. I mean, it's going to be interesting, though, Cole, because we know Lewis is not, like, the most, you know, well-conditioned athlete. I don't know how serious he took his training camp. If he took it seriously, he should win this fight pretty easily. But if he comes in, you know, and it's, like, slow around the cage, it's possible Latifi could be faster than him and maybe outstrike him or something, out-wrestle him. But I got to go with Lewis here. The guy is just so much powerful, man, and I think he probably does knock Latifi out. But -245, I mean, it's so, you know, it's kind of on the bubble of like if I want to bet or not. It's a little on the high end, but possibly it drops down a little bit. I do think he probably wins, but it's always one of those things, Cole. When the UFC makes these kind of fights, it makes me scratch my head. Like, are they seeing something I'm not seeing? And it's possible that could be the case here. But I do think Lewis probably wins by knockout. All right, interesting fight here. Featherweights, Dan Ige, Mirsad Bektic. Right now, Bektic -140, Ige +120. Give me your pick.
Yeah, this is an interesting fight. I talked to both guys. Bektic, it was really cool. Like, it's on Beach Pen right now, but he really opened up. He said he's been suffering from depression a lot after just all the injuries and the loss to Emmett. He said he was in a dark place. He said he's better now. He said he got back training. I still like Dan Ige, the underdog in this fight. I think Ige, just Bektic is just so inconsistent for me. Like, he looks good over Carter Lamas, and then he gets knocked out by a jab to Josh Emmett. Ige's a very well-rounded fighter. He's looked really good in the UFC. He trains at Extreme Couture, then he does a lot of stuff at AKA. He works with Khabib Nurmagomedov a lot. I think he'd be able to keep this. I think this fight's going to stay on the feet, and I think Ige will be able to outpoint Bektic and earn a decision win.
Yeah, I like Ige too, actually. I think he wins this fight. I like him as an underdog here. +120, I think there's value because I think he should be favored, quite frankly. And Bektic, he's been a good prospect for a long time, but, you know, he's kind of had his chance. He's kind of blown it, man. His training is not very good, and I don't think his cardio is the greatest either. Like, he beats guys he should beat and loses to guys he should lose to. So, or not really lose to. I mean, a guy like Darren Elkins, like, that was a fight he should have won. And to me, that's a fight that kind of put him on a downward slope. I know he beat Pepe and Lamas after that, but the Emmett fight, another fight, man, a fight I think on paper he should have won. He got knocked out pretty quickly. So, to me, he's a guy that had a, you know, nice pedigree, and he was highly touted as a future champion, but I don't think he's shown it. And Ige is a guy who's on a nice roll right now, four straight wins. He's looked really good, Cole. I think he's a little bit more well-rounded at this point. I think he's a little more durable. I think the durability comes into play here. I think that Ige takes the fight the full three rounds and grinds out a decision. I think it's going to be a close fight. Bektic is a pretty good fighter, as well as his wrestling is good and matches up. But Ige, to me, is just a little bit better at this point, a little bit more well-rounded and more momentum coming into this fight. So give me Dan Ige, wins the decision. That's my pick here. And I think he does win as an underdog. Ige by decision, +315. I honestly think there is value on that call. I know he could possibly finish Bektic, that's how he loses, but I think it's more likely the fight goes the full three rounds and gets grinded out. All right, next up, we've got a heavyweight bout, Justin Taffe against Juan Adams. Why is this fight in the main card? Anyways, Juan Adams -245, Taffe +205. Cole, why is the fight in the main card, and who wins?
I think they expect a first-round knockout, build some excitement into the title fights. I favor Juan Adams by knockout. He's now working at Jackson Wink. He's actually working with real heavyweights and light heavyweights. That was a problem. He used to just train, he used to put like Twitter and Facebook posts out, like, any heavyweights in the area, come spar with me. I need training partners. Obviously, he hasn't looked that good. He got knocked out Greg Hardy and just went for the single leg. Got decision to Arjun Bulla, which isn't a terrible loss. Arjun Bulla just set to fight for the one championship belt. He's a good wrestler. Like, Taffe, he's just, I don't even know why this guy was in the UFC. He was 3-0, and then he got knocked out by Jorgen De Castro. And then I thought, oh, maybe they just save him for the Auckland card. But I think this is a loser goes home. I think this loser gets cut from the UFC. And I think Juan Adams, this is last fight on his deal. I think he'll score a knockout win in the first or second. But I would not bet this fight at all because I wouldn't be surprised if Taff ends up knocking out Adams.
Yeah, this is dog or pass. And honestly, like, I'm very on the edge of picking Taff here just because of a pure fade on Juan Adams. And the guy's looked terrible the last few fights. The Greg Hardy fight was honestly embarrassing. Like, he just kind of turtled up and got TKO'd. And the fight with Arjun Buller was close. You got to wrestle there, it happens. But the Greg Hardy fight, man, Cole, like, honestly, it just bothered me the way he lost. Then again, Taffa got knocked out in his last fight, but DeCastro, I'm more high in DeCastro than a lot of people. I think that's not a bad loss. But, yeah, you know, for me, the only reason I'm picking Adams here, Cole, is because he's training at Jackson Wink right now. That's the only reason I'm going to pick him, because if he was still in his old camp, I would have picked Taffa for sure. I still think Taffa might win this fight. This is a dog or pass, guys. It's heavyweight. Heavyweight fights often end by upset. So plus 205, I mean, there is value there on Taffa. I just can't pick him. I'm going to pick Juan Adams. Probably wins by TKO, but there's no way in hell I would lay minus 245 on Juan Adams. No thank you. All right, let's get to the title fights now. First one, women's flyweight title fight. Valentina Shevchenko against Kaylin Chookagian. Valentina right now minus 1,080 favorite, and Chookagian plus 690 underdog. Does Chookagian have a chance to win this fight?
Chookagian, I honestly give Chookagian a better shot than I did for Carmouche and I. She just has a style where she can make it very boring. She can just outpoint Shevchenko. That's all her style. She never finishes fights and she never gets finished. She just is that point fighter. That's what she does. She did to Maj, did to Calderwood. The Calderwood win was like, and the problem is she's going from a co-main event where she used to open up cards to be the second fight. Like, she used to fight on the fight pass finish because the UFC didn't know her style was interesting. Like, all she does is just jab, move out of the way. So she could do that Shevchenko for get three rounds in the books, but I don't expect this fight to be any good. We saw Shevchenko what happened when she fights a point fighter like Carmouche. She was very hesitant. I think that's going to be another one like this. I think Shevchenko's going to win a decision, but I wouldn't bet this one at all. Like, there's no way. Even, like, to put Shevchenko in your parlay to add, like, $2, $3, it's not even worth it. Like, I don't expect this fight to be good. I think it's going to be similar to what Carmouche fight was, and I think Shevchenko's going to defend her belt.
I agree. I think the fight's going to be really boring. Chookagian is a pretty boring fighter. She just kind of outpoints you. That's how she wins. It won't work here because Shevchenko is a better striker, better grappler, better everywhere. To me, the way to bet this fight is you have to take a prop. And I'm kind of looking at Shevchenko by decision, Cole. I think minus 140, that's not bad. I think that's how she wins the fight. We haven't seen Chookagian get knocked out before. We haven't seen her get submitted. It's possible that Shevchenko could finish her because she finishes a lot of people. But she also wins a lot of decisions. And I just feel like stylistically, Cole, this fight's going to go the full five. It's going to be a boring point fight in the feet. Shevchenko by decision, minus 140. That's much better than laying minus 1,080 at five times. Look at BetDSI, guys. Minus 1,429. I mean, that's just sick. Like, yeah, she's going to win, but, like, don't bet on that. Don't bet those odds. Don't put it in her parlay because, as we saw with Roxanne last week with Macy, you put those huge favorites in, they lose, Cole, you're screwed. So don't do it. But if you want to make a straight bet, I think Shevchenko by decision. I think there's some value on that. You agree with me on that, Cole?
Yeah.
You like her by decision too?
Okay. Yeah. I don't think she'll be able to finish Chookagian.
Me either. All right. Time for the main event. Dominic Reyes against John Jones for the UFC Light Heavyweight Championship. John Jones minus 445. Dominic Reyes plus 355. Break down the fight, Cole. Do you think Reyes has a chance? And what do you think about the odds?
I think the odds are right where they should be. I think I favor John Jones heavily in this fight. I think John Jones, I might be in the minority, but I think John Jones finishes this fight. What John Jones feels like he's tested, that's when he's the best. He finished Daniel Cormier, he finished Gustafson. He knew Smith and Sandoz weren't huge touchstones, so he kind of was doing unique stuff in there. I don't think he was trying as hard as he could have and just decisioned them. I think he knows Reyes posed a challenge and all the stuff Reyes has been saying. I think that's gone to Jones. I think he wants to put out a statement. I think he's going to wrestle Dominic Reyes. I think he's going to ground and pound Reyes out. I think he's going to either TKO ground pound or he's going to submit Reyes in the third round.
Yeah, I agree. I think John Jones wins. You don't bet against John Jones. It's not a winning bet. Like, if you've been betting against this guy at all, you've lost money. The only time he's lost was against Matt Hamlin. We know what happened there. So he should have won that fight too. The guy's a money train. And honestly, you don't see him at minus four something very often. Like, usually he's an even bigger favorite. So to me, I think he wins for sure, Cole. How can I bet against John Jones? The guy is so dominant. He's so good everywhere. So well-rounded. To me, he's the most well-rounded guy in the game. And to me, he's the greatest fighter ever. I mean, Reyes is excellent. Like, he really is a good prospect. And he deserves a title shot, six straight wins. You know, some people are like, oh, he beat Weidman. Why is he going to title shot? Well, don't even look at that. Look at the win against Uzdemir. Look at OSP. I mean, those are quality wins in a division that's lacking, you know, quite frankly, contenders. So to me, he deserved his title shot here. I just don't like the matchup for him because John Jones, John McGrace is a big dude. He's got a long reach, but John Jones has even longer reach. He's even bigger and longer. He uses his range really good. He's a better wrestler. Striking wise, Brace has more power, I think, but Jones is just really good at managing the distance and kind of picking guys apart, picking his shots. I know you're saying, Cole, about, you know, him finishing Cormier and Gustin, but the thing you forgot to say was those are rematches. Like the first time he fought them, they went the distance. The first time he fought Smith and Santos, he went the distance. So to me, it's like, does he win by decision or does he win by stoppage? And I'm actually leaning towards a decision at plus 250. That's kind of the way I'm leaning here, Cole. I think it's going to be a point fest here for John Jones. Outpoints Reyes Lafitte, mixes in some wrestling. Reyes has never been finished, never lost before, so I'll kind of lean towards a decision. But I guess he could get finished too, so it's interesting. But I think at plus 250, there is possibly some value in Jones by decision. But yeah, you know, last week or 2 weeks ago, we had Connor as a big favorite, and people thought there was no value there. You know, sometimes these guys just win, and I think in this case, John Jones will win this fight, and I do like it. Even at minus 445, I still think he wins the fight, Cole. So that's my pick. That's our breakdowns for this card. Overall, a mediocre card. Could turn out better than we expect, but should be pretty good. Want to get to some news, Cole? We haven't talked to you.
Well, I want to get your take on this. Do you think this is John Jones' last fight at light heavyweight?
Oh, that's a great question.
Talking about, he just talked to an area that's like, I want to fight Stipe Miocic. There's a lot of talk of him at heavyweight. I think this could very well be his last fight at light heavyweight. Like, who after, like, who's going to be, like, does the winner of Corey Anderson, Jan Blachowicz really intrigue John Jones?
I don't think so. I mean, I hope he moves up. I'd like to see that. I've wanted to see that for a while. You know, but the thing is, cool. Like we've been saying that for a few years, and then there's always a new contender comes up, like Santos, Smith. Now we have, obviously, Reyes. So there's always a new guy coming up. But, yeah, I'd rather see him go to heavyweight and fight Miocic. It doesn't sound like Miocic is interested in that Cormier trilogy, by the way, Cole. It sounds like he wants a new challenge, man. I think Jones is that guy. That'd be a really interesting fight. So,
like, put that International Fight Week, Masvidal Usman co-main event. That's a massive pay-per-view.
That'd be sick. I'd Frank, throw Connor in that card too. Put Connor and Nate or something on that card. But nah, they wouldn't do that. But I'm just saying that would break maybe 3 million pay-per-view-wise. That'd be crazy. But yeah, I'm kind of with you, Cole. I'd like to see him move up in weight. Yeah, you're right. I mean, who wants to see John Jones? It's Corey Anderson or Jan Blachowicz. It's not me. I mean, those aren't really interesting fights. Those guys probably deserve a title shot, but they aren't that interesting. Having said that, Cole, I mean, if Jones moves up, does he vacate his belt or do they create an interim belt? It's hard to say, right? I think there's a lot of unanswered questions, but, you know, we've wanted to see Jones move up for a while now, and I think that if he goes in there and blows out Reyes, he's going to have to move up because no one's going to be interested in watching him fight at light heavyweight anymore. But if it's a close fight like the Santos fight, Cole, like a lot of us forgetting how close that fight was, he could have lost that fight. If that same thing happens here, he'd probably stick around for a bit. So we'll see what happens, but definitely an interesting question, Cole, and I'm curious to see what happens. Anything else you want to talk about, Cole? You want to talk about Covington? I talked about it a little bit today, but he's pissed off, obviously, at Mark Goddard. What do you think is next for Colby, man? You think he gets that fight with Chiesa or someone else? Or what?
I don't think he's going to fight Chiesa. I think he's going to wait for a bit. I think he wants to see what happens. I honestly would not be surprised if, say, you have Masvidal Usman, say that ends up being the main event of International Fight Week. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Covington Woodley or Covington Edwards on that card as a number one contender, just in case it happens to Masvidal or Usman. I think that could be his next fight. Or I think Covington would be fine waiting until December or something, waiting for Usman again. Like, I don't think he's in a rush to fight. I would love to see him fight Woodley or Masvidal. I think those fights, they kind of have to happen. There's a big rivalry there, but both of them are tied up. So I think Covington's kind of in this weird spot where I don't know if he's going to fight down. I'd like to see the Chiesa matchup. I think I'd favor Covington. I think it's a fight, get him a win, stay relevant in the top, like, two, top three, stay fighting, and just see what happens with the rest of the division. But I wouldn't be shocked if we don't see Covington this year or don't see him until, like, December in a title fight.
I really like Michael Chiesa, but he's lucky he even got RDA in his first fight. RDA was the number five ranked guy, and I think he's lucky he got to take that chance. I think Chiesa probably fights Thompson next, Cole. Looking at the rankings, Thompson's ranked one above him. I don't think Colby's interested in this fight at all. I don't think he was signed to fight Chiesa. I think he's going to wait for Woodley and Edwards. And Kevin Scott, he had a question earlier on the first podcast today and said the same thing, Cole. He's like, do you think he'll fight the loser of that fight? And I thought about it. And, you know, I think he's probably right, especially if it's Woodley, Cole. I think Woodley versus Covington is a fight that makes a lot of sense. It's kind of a grudge match. Two guys that don't like each other. I think former trade partners, right? So to me, it'd be like kind of anyways. They're both American Top guys at one point. But anyways, yeah, it should be an interesting fight. But man, he was pissed when he was talking about Mark Aubrey yesterday, Cole, for sure. Can't really blame him though. What else do you want to talk about, Cole?
With Colby too, like, what do you? I think fans are starting to turn on. Like, I think fans are starting to like him. Just like seeing all the comments that Ariel's posting, like what James, like all the comments in James posts, like, seems like people actually like are starting to like Covington, which is weird. And he even mentioned in Ariel's show, like, I want people to hate me, but people like me because I was fighting Usman, and no one likes Usman. Like, do you agree with that?
Do I think people are coming around on Colby?
Yeah, like, because he said at 245, people were cheering for him because no one liked Usman. And, like,
oh man, that's not true at all. They were cheering for Usman. He's wrong. I'm telling you right now, Cole, he's lying. Like, and he's the biggest troll. I was in the crowd, dude. People were not cheering for Colby. I mean, I would have preferred to see Colby just to screw everything up because fans hate the guy. But they were cheering for Usman, man. They wanted to see Usman win. The crowd went wild when he won. Colby's just a guy that's hated for some reason, you know? I think he's a little misunderstood, too. I mean, I get it. Like, the whole Make America Great Again, the affiliation with Trump, he's hated. But to me, Cole, you know what? He gets people talking about him. To me, that's exciting. Like, this is a sport that needs more personality, especially in the Reebok era where they've taken so many guys' personalities away. I think you need guys like Colby who are heels, trolls, whoever you want to call them. I love the guy, man, personally. I know a lot of people are going to disagree with him. I know you like him too, Cole. You know, James loves him. Gave James a great interview yesterday and always does. But a lot of people hate the guy, and I understand that. But the guy's a troll. And what he said about being cheered, Cole, is not true because I was there and he was getting booed really hard, man. People were really happy when he got knocked out, if you trust me. Anyways, what else? You see that Bellator? Okay, so Bellator, their Dublin card, lost the main event, Cole.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
God, now tell the fans what the main event is.
Oh, it's Leah McCourt versus who's she fighting?
Who are these two? That's a bad card.
Yeah, she's fighting Judith Ruiz, who's 6-4 overall.
So like, bad. Gallagher's not fighting. Who got injured, Gallagher or Eleanor?
Gallagher did. Do you know what doesn't make sense? You have Georgie Karahaydin on the prelims.
I saw that. He's a really good fighter. It's kind of weird, right?
And you have Ricky Bandejas is on that card. He's opening up the card. I didn't even know he was on that card.
It's weird, man. Sometimes, like, some of the way they do their matchups and, like, the bout order is very strange. So this card is also called – it's Bellator Dublin and Bellator 240. So it's even more confusing. And I'm guessing part of it's going to be in the app and part of it's going to be on Paramount, and we probably won't even get it live in North America. Anyways, we got a question here. Robert Napolitano, talk about Cannoneer. I mean, Cole, you're his guy, so talk about him, Cole. What do you know?
He's still training to be on 248. If Kevin Till, I think Till's kind of the guy they want, but it's closing in where they're going to have to make a decision on him. He's called out Gaslam. I think Canada really wants to fight. I think the UFC is trying to figure it out. It's so weird. Dana White said Till's hurt, and then Till said, I'm not hurt. It's you guys won't pay me enough money.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Well, he basically said, like, my management haven't got the right deal, which to me basically means he's not getting paid what he wants. So I think I would have to believe Till. Like, I don't think Dana White probably said, oh, he's hurt just because he probably turned down the fight because he wasn't getting what he wanted. But I hope Cannonier fights on that card. I think they need Cannonier to fight on that card to be the backup because it's tough to ask someone to train, to make weight, and then for a fight they might not even get, like if Romero or Adesanya miss weight.
Yeah, they might use him as a backup fighter, but I'm looking at the card now, Cole. There's 13 fights already scheduled, man, so I feel like they're going to pull him, like, from that Till fight. I guess they already have, but, yeah, probably a backup. It'd be nice to see him just get a fight, though, or just even get a title shot. I mean, honestly, he probably should be fighting for the belt if the sport was about merit, but it's about who sells the most fights and what the UFC thinks the biggest fights are. Yeah, but that card's full, Cole, so I don't know what he's going to do. I mean, he could move to another card just looking ahead. A lot of these cards are filling up quickly, though. Yeah, I don't know. UFC 249 needs some fights. I mean, possibly maybe that card, the Khabib card. I saw that Stevens Catter was moved to that card. So Robert says Till Baby K Baby Robertson. Is that Carl Robertson?
Yeah, I think so.
No, man, I don't think so. Will he fire be canceled? I mean, like Cole said, backup fighter at this point. We don't really know. It's one of those things where Till was quite well, Dana said Till was hurt, now Till saying it's money. Marcus. Hey Marcus, what's up? If Cannonier doesn't get a fight at 248, should get Jared or Cannonier get the next 185-pound title shot? That's another great question. I mean, this guy could be end up getting screwed because he's might have to wait for Paulo to get his title shot. I don't know. I mean, that'd be a really good number contender fight if anything. I think Paulo might have to fight again. I mean, he got hurt. It sucks, but that happens a lot in MMA. Guy gets hurt, loses his title shot. It's hard to stay covered. He's going to come back soon too. I mean, have you talked to Valia at all lately? Or
yeah, they're still thinking he's come back in the summertime. So just a couple months after, I think Adesanya wants to fight often. Adesanya wants to fight in August again, March to August. That's a reasonable time off. I think they'll do Costa Adesanya, but Cannonier is a guy that he's going to have to fight again for sure. Like, he's kind of in a weird position where he deserves a title shot. Probably deserves it more. I think he does deserve it more than Yoel Romero, but he's not a big enough name. That Whitaker fight, if he won that, that would have really pushed him over, especially on the Adesanya pay-per-view. People would have seen, like, oh, this is the next guy.
Yeah. No, he's just not a big star. I mean, I was in Brazil after he beat Silva by TKO, and we're on the hotel. All the fans were sitting in the bar area. They're all getting an autograph from Clay Guida. He was there. He beat BJ Penn that night. And I saw Cannonier just walking through the hall. No one stopped talking to him. I know he beat their guy, Anderson, but no one cared about him. Like, I think the guy's good. I mean, he beat Hermanson in his last fight with Cole, but let's be honest, how many people watched that fight in Copenhagen against Jack Hermanson? And Jack Hermanson's not really a big name either. So, to me, you know, you might have to fight again, unfortunately. It sucks, but it is what it is. Next up, what's next for Makhachev? Kevin Lee says he wants to fight Oliveira and then fight Makhachev, but to me, like, Makhachev's got to get a fight. I don't know what happened. I really don't know what happened with that fight goal. It feels like it was a money-related thing. I don't really know for sure. Makhachev is ranked right now number 14, but we all know he's extremely dangerous. Just looking at the rankings, I mean, Aya Quinta's up there. He needs a fight. Diego Ferreira is a guy that's been kind of thrown around. Also, Gregor Gillespie. What are you thinking, man, for Ferreira?
I think he's going to wait till June. I think he's going to headline the Russia card against Kevin Lee. Just talking to Kevin Lee, that's his thought. That's Makhachev's thought. Makhachev didn't – why that fight's not happening is Makhachev's team said June in Russia. Kevin Lee said, I'm not waiting until June. I'm going to get this Oliveira fight in. He said win or lose against Oliveira, they're fighting Makhachev in June. Mm. I don't know. But then that Russian report came out that Khabib, Makhachev, and Zabit were all fighting on 249. We haven't heard a single thing about it, so I don't know if that was true or not, but Makhachev's a guy who just doesn't fight often enough to be a star. Like, he only fights once or twice a year, like, and he doesn't fight in, like, high-profile names. Like, he fights these, like, he could have had this Kevin Lee fight. He should have said, all right, I don't need to fight in Russia. I'll fight Kevin Lee in March or April. Like, but he insists on fighting in Russia. He insists on fighting in June. He's kind of, like, calling the shots when he doesn't have the leverage to call the shots. Like, you're fighting up in the rankings, I think you have to take what the higher guy wants to do.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. But it just sucks for this dude because he should have been fighting earlier. Now, Lee's probably going to get two fights in before he gets his next fight. It is what it is. But yeah, I think Ferreira would be a good fight, though. I mean, Ferreira, he's coming off a win over Pettis, jumped him in the rankings, but he's still not ranked that high. These guys just need to fight. I think the problem with a lot of these guys is, cool. Like, they feel like they're stars, but they're not. Like, no one knows who Makhachev really is. I mean, as hardcore fans, sure, we know who he is and how dangerous he is, Cole. There's a casual – if you ask your friend, does he know who Islam Makhachev is, does he know Cole? No, right? But they know who Anthony Pettis is. So, like, to me, like, they got to take fights like that against guys with somewhat names. Too bad Barboza's moving down. I mean, that would be an interesting fight, but he's going to move down to 145. Makhachev doesn't co-main event. UFC 249, no.
Nami Unison Draw is the co-main.
Yeah, exactly. The rematch between Jessica and Rose is the co-main for that card. And that card's actually shaping up nice. Main card for that card, Cole. Khabib versus Tony, obviously. Main event, co-main, Andrade versus Rose. And then also on the main card, Shamil versus Ciryl Gane, which is a nice step up for Gane. He deserves a pay-per-view fight. Uriah Hall versus Ronaldo Souza. And then, I guess, Stevens versus Cotter. That's probably the main card. That looks pretty full to me.
Yeah, that's a good. And then,
you know, I mean, obviously Khabib's fighting on that card, and there's a lot of Russians that live in that part of the States. But yeah, I think they're probably going to wait, unfortunately.
I just looked at Tapology. They only have 8 fight books. They need at least four more. So
it's possible.
I still think they need a bigger name on the prelims, because right now on the prelims, you'd have Ben Rothwell, Comworthy, Star Eubanks. Like, those aren't, none of them are headlining or the first or the final two fights on an ESPN prelims.
One thing I'll say is, like, a lot of the undercards of these cards do need fights, but the main events are pretty much sold, like, done for a lot of these pay-per-views coming up. Cool. 248's done, 249's done, 250's done.
I'm surprised they're not making 250 a bigger deal. I thought that'd be like a number they'd try to add up, but I guess to them, it's probably just like 300 is going to be their next big one.
If I was thinking UFC 150 was Frankie versus Benson, I got to check that out again. But yeah, it was Benson versus Frankie too, and the co-main event was Melvin Glover versus Donald Cerrone. So, you know, Cole, I know what you're saying, but at the same time, there's so many cards these days. Also, I brought this up yesterday in the podcast, Cole. Is Bellator going to get Bellator 300 before the UFC does UFC 300?
I think so, because every Bellator card's numbered, and UFC only does one number a month, so they're only having 12 numbers a year.
Yeah, yeah. They're going to beat them there. It's crazy, right?
Yeah, because Bellator is already at 239 this month. And
I can't remember what Bellator 200 was. I don't think it was a good card.
No, it was.
Oh, it's Carl Paul versus Saucy. Okay, that's not
yeah.
Who else is on that card? Bellator 200. Yeah, Michael Page versus David Riggles is the co-main event. It was an okay card. We got another question here. Okay, Marcus. Oh, no. Robert says, who do you pick, Felder Hooker? Got to wait for the event, man. Sorry, but we said we're going to wait to give our picks. But, you know, it's a close fight for sure. That's all I'll say. And the odds are very close for that fight. Marcus, do you think Dana's making a mistake targeting Volkanovski versus Max rematch instead of doing Volkanovski versus Jair? I have no interest in Max versus Volkanovski. Give me Max versus Abid. Okay, so we didn't talk about Chet Cole, but Dana White said the other day that the UFC is planning on booking the rematch between Max and Volkanovski. I think it's just the respect thing for Max, because Max has did a lot of favors to the UFC. He stepped up in weight to help the UFC out. He's did the rematch with Aldo when he really didn't deserve it. That's the only reason I think they're doing this. I don't want to see this fight because Max got blown out, in my opinion. I think he lost the fight probably 4-1, if not 5-0, at UFC 245. It wasn't a close fight, Cole. I don't see what a few months difference is going to make. I think Volkanovski wins the fight again. I think he might look even better. I'm with you completely, Marcus. I'd rather see Volkanovski versus Jair, or I'd rather see him versus the B, or I'd rather see him versus Korean Zombie. What do you think, Cole?
Yeah, it's interesting, because when I talked to Volkanovski too, he's really mad at the featherweight division. And I actually agree with his point. He basically is like, I'm broke my hand. I'm having hand surgery. Like, I had hand surgery. I'm out until at least July. Between now and July, one of you guys go fight and secure yourselves the number one contender. He's like, you have Max, you have Zombie, you have Yair, you have Zabit, you have Brian Ortega. There's five of them. None of them really deserve a title fight. None of them are that high known. Like, have Yair fight Zabit, have Zombie fight Holloway. Whoever looks good out of those two fights, the best one takes on Volkanovski, and so on. Like,
yes, yeah, I'm with you on that.
They need to have a number one contender fight. Like, Volkanovski get out until July, August. Like, have these guys fight. Like, have Max get another win and show that maybe it was just a bad performance and he can be back and be better. Like, to just have an instant rematch, people are not going to be as interesting in that fight as if you were just to have Max fight Zombie and say he gets past Zombie.
And he broke his hand in that fight, right?
Yeah.
So he'll be out for a minute. Yeah, I'm with you completely, Cole. And here's the other thing. I'll mention this too. It seems like there's a lot of title fights coming up, but not enough cards. I feel like they might start putting title fights onto like the ESPN cards or even like a Fight Night card possibly, because there's a lot of pay-per-views that are already having double fights. Do they really need three title fights in these cards? I don't know. Like I said, a lot of these fights are booked. The one that's not booked yet is the one in June that's usually in Chicago, so we don't really know what's going to be on that card.
Yeah, there's not even they haven't even announced it Chicago or anything. They've announced it anywhere.
I don't know if it's going to be Chicago. I think it is, Cole, because last two were there. No idea what's going to be in that card, but, you know, maybe Volkanovski's healthy, possibly. But you're saying August instead? I doubt he'll beat on that card in July, unless they're doing two pay-per-views in July like they did last year. It's possible, too. Anyways, we'll see what happens. Anything else you want to talk about, Cole, or you want to get out of here?
No, I think that's everything.
Yeah, I think so too. Okay, Cole, plug your stuff and let's get out of here.
Yeah, Twitter at ColeSheldon91 this week. Alir Latifi, Mirsad Beck, taking interviews up on BJ Penn. I'll have fighter picks for Jones, Reyes, Shevchenko, Chikagan, and then Danny Ige on BJ Penn. Everything else is always on my Twitter.
And you guys can follow me on Twitter at Adam Martin, and I'm available at bjpenn.com, maoddsbreaker.com, and maranks.net. The podcast, of course, is hosted here by Nick Kalikas, Fight Odds on Twitter and Instagram. Check him out. Nick's got quite a few bets. And Nick's doing that thing he's doing with his Instagram going in the casino is pretty cool. I know you like it too, Cole. He's actually, you know, putting his money where his mouth is. So definitely go check that out. I'm sure Nick's going to make a few more bets for the card this weekend. He lives in Vegas now, so it's very easy for him to go in the casino, walk in, give his cash, and see what happens. So should be good stuff. And I think that's going to be it. I'll be back tomorrow, guys, for the Wednesday edition of the podcast. And that's it for today. Have a great day, guys. Thanks again for tuning in. I appreciate all the questions. And Cole, I appreciate you tuning in and joining me as always, buddy. All right, guys, have a great day. Bye.